Welcome to the Optimal Body Podcast. I'm Doc Jen.
And I'm Dr. Dom, and we are doctors of physical therapy, bringing you the body tips and physical therapy pearls of wisdom to help you begin to understand your body, relieve your pains and restrictions, and answer your questions.
Along with expert guests, our goal of the Optimal Body Podcast is really to help you discover what optimal means within your own body. Let's dive in. I have to read this feedback that I got from a couple people. It is really incredible. I just love reading things like this. Now, this is about the Neboso toe splay specifically. You've heard us talk about Neboso if you've been listening to our podcast. They have the best foot products out there ever. I'm telling you, their toe splay, their toe separators are the squishiest, best, like, things that you will ever wear on your feet. And you only need 10 to 15 minutes. It's already going to make a difference because I'm telling you, look at your hand and spread your fingers apart. They spread pretty easily, naturally. Everything goes apart. Now do it with your foot. Your foot should be able to do the exact same thing. I'm not kidding you. And if you are spreading your toes and your big toes going way up or down, but it's not going to the side, this is a crucial muscle that we need in the bottom of the foot to help support that arch. And just being able to spread your toes in general helps to support what's called our intrinsic foot muscles to help build that stability at the bottom of the foot that really improves the strength and control of the foot. So we're always thinking of like crunching our feet in, but we actually need our toes to be able to spread. It helps us naturally walk better because we have that natural toe alignment. It's going to allow us to pronate and supinate the way our foot is naturally supposed to do. I mean, there's so many benefits. And not only does Neboso have these toe splays, but they also have incredible other products that are really going to help with circulation and stimulation of your feet because we have over 200,000 nerve endings in our foot. So getting those nerve endings stimulated is going to help to provide so much more feedback into your feet and into your entire body. Like it's going to light up that brain when you start using their products. Now, if you go to neboso.com/docgenfit, you're going to see four of my favorite products on this page. Now, one of them is specifically the Neboso toe splay, which I told you about. And here's what someone said. Best toe separators I've ever used. Thank you for the recommendation and code. That's code optimal. Gets you 15% off. Here's another person said, I'm dead. These literally feel luxurious compared to yoga toes. They're the best out there. You only need like build it up slowly, 5 to 15 minutes a day, and then try to spread your toes. You're going to notice a difference, especially if you do that consistently. I mean, people in my course who started wearing them within 5 days already reported so much of a difference in how they can use and feel and separate those toes. So it's going to help not only your foot, but your entire body health. Go check out Neboso. I'm telling you, you don't want to miss this. Use code OPTIMAL at checkout, but it's neboso.com/docgenfit to check out my favorite products.
Okay, so today we're hopping in on an episode about headaches, specifically cervicogenic headaches. We did a previous episode on tension headaches, which they have similarities. Some people kind of classify tension headaches as a type of a cervicogenic headache, but cervicogenic headache, that word is a mouthful in general, but it really just means a headache that has to do with something originating from the neck or the cervical region of our spine, which is our neck.
I know. And to know that like headaches can cause considerable disability with 52% of the world population suffering from various types of headaches. Like that's a large percentage of people that, you know, suffer on a day-to-day basis, whether it's daily or it comes and goes. I know my mom suffers from headaches. So it's like, what can we do to start to address this? And I think what you're going to learn from us is that though there are protocols that can help, you know, there's no one size fits all. So we want to talk about all the possibilities of what you can really include to start to help your body.
Taking a pause from the conversation about headaches to talk about something that can actually help headaches or help make sure we're setting up our body to best prevent getting these random headaches, and that is our hydration. Not just hydrating with water, but making sure we're getting in the electrolytes that we need for proper brain function and function all throughout our body. That is why Jen and I use Element Electrolyte Mix to make sure we're getting back in the sodium, potassium, and magnesium that our body needs to function optimally. These electrolytes are so vital for different processes like headaches, brain fog, fatigue, making sure we're getting good sleep. And that is why we put it in our water on a daily basis to make sure we're coming back to the bottle. The other great thing is sometimes regular water can get kind of boring and Element tastes so great. So with every single order, when you go through the link down in the show notes, you get a free sample pack so you can try out all their different flavors and make sure you know which one you like next when you inevitably come back to get more. Go down to the link in the show notes. It's just drinkelement.com/optimal. That's drinkelement spelt out like LMNT.com/optimal. Go get an order in, get your free sample pack, and start leveling up your hydration today. All right, let's get back into the episode. So again, cervicogenic headaches originating from somewhere in the neck. Like, so what's going on in the neck that causes us or contributes to these headaches? And this is where we're generally talking about some sort of stability or mobility issue. And that they tend to go hand in hand when we're talking about our neck muscles. If we have a mobility issue or if we feel instability, our neck muscles will kind of tighten down to find some stability, to make us feel like we have safety and stability in our neck, which then causes other problems, you know. And some of the muscles that tend to tighten down or take over are things like our sternocleidomastoid, which is this big ropey muscle that runs down the front of either side of our neck. We've got our upper traps, you know, that are a big player in cervicogenic or tension headaches. A lot of people will complain of, oh, I just have such tight upper traps. Those upper traps run all the way up to the very tip of, you know, top of our spine and even into our low occiput or skull area. We have our suboccipital muscles, which are connected right at the top of our neck and into the base of our skull. That's another place that we can get, you know, very commonly have tightness there if we're having tension headaches. So it's generally some combination of we aren't having enough activation of the muscles we should have. So our neck feels unstable. And because of that, other muscles are trying to tighten down to have to find stability. Another major muscle that you'll hear, especially if you go into physical therapy, they'll probably, you know, train in you is our deep cervical neck flexors, which
if you're a Gen Health member, we talk about this a lot.
Yeah, we talk about this a lot in Gen Health. And these are muscles that actually lay behind our throat, essentially behind our trachea, on the front of the spine. And what they do is flex the spine forward or give us stability. They kind of flex our head down. And it's the muscles that you're kind of activating when you do those chin tucks, which, like Jen said, well, you'll do those in Gen Health. If you go to physical therapy, they'll probably have you doing some variation of chin tucks or deep cervical neck flexor training.
Yeah. So if we see that not being so great or having some weakness there, having a loss of endurance, because usually that's more of like an endurance thing, right? We're not just like repping it out with chin tucks. We're saying, can you lay down on your back and be in that chin tuck position and barely lift the head? Or like how, like, can you hold that and how long can you hold that?
There's endurance tests and we'll kind of try and record an example of that and they'll time how long can you hold this before we either see other muscles in the neck taking over or before you feel like you need to put your head down. And some people are shocked. If you get into a true chin tuck and do that endurance test, after 5 or 10 seconds, you're just feeling like your neck is like, oh my gosh, I'm burning already. I have muscle fatigue already after 5 to 10 seconds. And I don't know the exact numbers, but they say you should be able to do this from like for like 30 seconds to a minute.
I feel like for women, from what I remember, okay, these are not exact numbers, so don't quote me, but I think it's above 20 seconds. And then for males, I thought it was above 40 seconds, but again, I could be wrong. That's what I remember from clinic. But in general, like, you're looking around 30 seconds, you know, which is quite a bit of time when you especially have not trained this in a while, or you work at a desk a lot where your neck is kind of going forward. And so you're getting elongation at the front of that neck. So you're not allowing those neck muscles to really be working more often throughout the day, which is what we need. We need endurance of those muscles. So something that can definitely contribute. And so when we're looking at the first line of defense, when we want to improve this cervicogenic headache, why do I keep getting headaches? I would say the first line of treatment you should go to is physical therapy. Of course, we're physical therapists, we're going to say that, right? But before you turn to pain management in terms of drugs or Botox or other treatments that can be helpful, can we look at what can I do physically in my body, because we're not just looking at these deep neck flexors and chin tucks. We're going to talk about a lot more exercises that can help and bring awareness to what's happening that could be contributing to this headache. But physical therapy, I think, you know, first line of treatment. And when we're looking at the effectiveness of treatments, what they actually found is that manipulative therapy, so thinking of going to get that neck manipulation with therapeutic exercise, are usually tend to be the most effective. And that's what we kind of see from some of the research, is that manipulative treatment, so getting that cervical manipulation mixed, or adjustment as many people might know it, mixed with therapeutic exercise and in combination, has been shown to have some benefits.
We have a full episode on manipulations and adjustments, talking about what they're doing. And a lot of people will think that, oh, physical therapists, they don't like adjustments. That's what chiropractors do. Like, in most states, physical therapists are trained in and allowed to do, you know, high velocity manipulations, what we call it, because chiropractors didn't want us to also call it adjustments or something like that.
I don't know.
Probably a legal thing.
Same thing.
But really, you know, similar, if not the same techniques. And we're getting the same result in the body, which is relaxation, release of endorphins. It helps all of those tight muscles just let go a little bit. Mm-hmm. And so when we get that release, you know, or the relaxation that we're looking for with the manipulation technique, then it allows us to do more exercise with less pain or with less symptoms.
Yep.
And that's why they work so well hand in hand. And what we saw with this technique alone, manipulation plus exercise, is that 72% of patients had reduced 50% or more in their headache frequency at the 12-month follow-up. So a year later, you know, after treatment started, 72% of people are still saying, I had 50% reduction or more, and 42% of patients reported I have 80% or more, 80% or higher relief of some sort, you know, based on the metrics that they use. So that's a pretty, you know, significant number, pretty positive result, saying that 12 months later, after having this treatment protocol, you know, 72% of people having 50% or more, and 42% of people having 80% or more of some sort of relief.
Yeah. And again, we're looking at like it being more of a neural stimulation when we're getting that manipulative treatment. It's not realigning your cervical spine. It's not putting anything back into place. Again, go listen to our episode to hear and understand more about manipulation and adjustment. But if it's helping you get back to exercise, like that's the key. That's what we really want to look at. And what's most important here is that because you're having the headache with like what's ever coming from the neck, we have to go about treatment slowly. Because if you're suddenly like, give me the most, do all these things, give me all these exercises, it can actually flare you up a little bit more. And because you're doing more new exercise, you're going to be putting strain and stress on those muscles in a way that they may not have felt in a long time. So you really have to be careful with the rate at which you move with therapy. And that's kind of been pointed out in some of the research as well, is that just moving slowly through this progressive treatment. And that's why sometimes working with a physical therapist is best, because you get the treatment based on what you need at the time and how your body progresses, because everyone progresses a little differently. And being able to go at a slower rate, a slower pace, really helps to reduce, just give you better outcomes in reducing that headache.
It's just like working out in any capacity. When you start something new, you're going to have some degree of soreness. You're going to be feeling new things. And so, you know, regardless of how slowly you start, if you start doing some deep cervical flexion, you know, muscle training or muscle endurance training, that might be irritating to some degree in the neck. And so, again, this is why it's important to be with a physical therapist, so that when you come back and say, oh, I actually like felt worse headaches for a day, you know, day and a half after we did that, the therapist can put that at ease and say, that's okay. We're asking your neck to work. We're asking your neck to do different things. You know, you're in the most irritable state you're probably going to be in, but we need to keep this training. We need to keep, you know, going down this road, but we might just adjust based on how your body reacted. And so I think that's important to say. I think another important thing that we want to point out is that everyone's a little bit different. And everybody who's having these types of cervicogenic headaches might have a different root cause. You know, many of them, as we pointed out, might be coming from some sort of deficiency in mobility or stability or strength in those deep cervical flexors of the neck. But some may not be coming from that. Mm-hmm. And this is where, again, getting with a trained set of eyes and hands to be able to assess you and say, you know what, I'm not really finding many restrictions in the neck. Mm-hmm. You know, so we might need to approach this slightly differently. I think that's super important.
Yeah. And they actually found that like a lot of aerobic type exercise can help in general with headache relief. So just getting outside and walking more, just going on, you know, different machines, if that's what you prefer, to do some biking or to do some elliptical work, like how can I get a little bit more aerobic and just movement throughout my body, getting the blood flowing a little bit more. Maybe you've had headaches, so you haven't wanted to move a lot. They've found that just doing aerobic type exercise can be really beneficial if it's just headache based and it's not necessarily cervicogenic based.
In some of the studies we looked at, they use the control group either is doing like aerobic exercise like that, or there's this other study where the control group is just doing stretching exercises, neck stretching exercises. And even in that group where they were just doing neck stretching exercises, there was 37% decrease in headache reduction and 21% decrease in any upper extremity pain people may have been having. So this is also pointing out that activity in general is found to be beneficial to a decent percentage of people. So that was the control group in this first study. There was also a strength group and an endurance group. Mm-hmm. The strength group was doing more strength-based exercises for both their neck flexors, there's those deep neck flexors we talked about, as well as shoulders and upper extremities. And then the endurance group was doing that neck flexor endurance exercise that we had talked about, as well as some other upper extremity exercises, but just adjusted so they were focused more on endurance while the first group was focused on strength. And both of those groups saw a significantly higher decrease in both headache reduction and upper extremity pain, with the strength group actually performing better than the endurance group. But this is, again, to point out, like, okay, if we get a little bit more focused on the neck, it catches a much larger percentage of people. Almost, you know, 2/3 of people were finding benefit in the strength group, and 58% of people in the endurance group found reduction in headaches.
So I think it's really cool to continue to point out how much, you know, combined treatment, not just like one thing. And this is what another study kind of looked at. They looked at not only doing manipulation therapy, but doing motor control exercises. So we're going to work on a little bit more coordination around your how your shoulder muscles and your neck kind of work together. Putting all of that together, they found that there was 10% more participants reported greater than 50% relief or complete relief of headache when treated with that combined intervention over no physical therapy at all. So I think it's really cool to see how effective it is at reducing headache when we're not only just looking at, you know, deep neck flexors and stretching and not just doing manipulation alone, but how are we combining that with how the shoulders and the shoulder blades and the neck all work together in coordination? And how can we get that all programming a little bit more so that we can start to make progress and how we're feeling throughout our entire neck all the way up into that headache and making that long-term change? So that was recorded also at 12 months follow-up, like how long did it last? And they were still lasting benefits at 12 months.
And that kind of bridges well, because we're going more into like neurological techniques. Mm-hmm. And anytime we're talking about pain, you know, headaches included, this is a neurological thing, yes. Especially headaches. You know, we associate that directly with our head or our brain. And there are a lot more things that can be at play in here or be contributing to this, just, you know, over just our muscles and our, you know, joints and our neck. You know, we have to be more concerned with what's happening on a neurological level, and that, you know, this is where we use more of the biopsychosocial model. You know, we just talked more about the biomechanic, the biological with the muscles. But the psychological and the social components,
so like important.
What types of stress are happening in our life? Are we getting good enough sleep? I had a couple tough nights sleep because our son got me up really early, just like the last couple days, and I had a headache all day long yesterday. Mm-hmm. And I associated that with like not getting enough sleep, and I got a decent night's sleep tonight and headaches are gone, you know? And so it's like trying to focus in on some of the other things in life that you think might be out of balance. Am I drinking enough water? Mm-hmm. You know, I mentioned stress, but it's like, are there relationships in your life that seem like they're adding a lot more onto your plate? Is work really overwhelming you? And this is where we saw other, you know, studies or research talking about the importance of breath work.
Yes,
you know,
that's diaphragmatic breathing.
Diaphragmatic breathing. That's something that we always go to. And diaphragmatically breathing and properly using your breath to downregulate your nervous system can be an absolute game changer mm-hmm. in the amount of stress or perception of stress. Like mm-hmm. the stress, of course, externally doesn't disappear, but it can really calm down that sympathetic drive, that fight or flight drive in our body, and also help our muscles relax a little bit more. So mm-hmm. breath can be so valuable as a tool in helping with these headaches.
And what's really cool, I got to do a one-on-one session with someone who had won something, a part of within Gen Health. And she had a great reduction within her headaches doing the neck and upper back plan on Gen Health, but she still had some remaining symptoms. And she was going to a physical therapist as well, but some of those strengthening exercises would actually flare her up even more, which is kind of what we talked about, how slow it needs to go. But what I really looked at with her was starting from the basics. Like, okay, just come in front of, we were on Zoom, come in front of the screen, take a couple deep breaths, let me know what you see. And her taking a couple deep breaths, she was using her neck muscles to breathe because as she took those deep breaths, her shoulders were immediately going up and it was almost impossible for her to keep her shoulders relaxed the entire time and only expand from the rib cage. So this only highlights even more, not only is it a down regulatory effect that we're looking at with breathing, but we're trying to make sure that we're not turning on unnecessary muscles that shouldn't be turned on throughout the day. The only time we want to use our neck muscles when we're breathing is if we're doing high level, you know, activity and really going for a sport type of play. Otherwise, throughout the day, we should, when we're breathing, our shoulders should be relaxed. If someone tells you to take a deep breath, your shoulders should not raise. And that is the misconception with when people say, take a deep breath and relax. Your shoulders go up to your ears. We're using accessory muscles that shouldn't necessarily be in play. So I think that is usually a missing link that people don't think about. But I liked some of the other stuff that we looked at in research as well. Not only looking at diaphragmatic breathing playing a role, but also postural awareness. So just being aware of our posture throughout the day. We're not going to have perfect posture throughout the day.
We've also posture, done an episode on posture.
Yes, and it what we changes, think about, yeah, it movement, it
we
moves.
We think about that, how that should look throughout the day.
With that said, having a general sense of awareness of how to hold your head over your body more so throughout the day and how we kind of find that balance within ourselves rather than forcing it. But what exercises do I need to do? Do I need to open up my upper back more? Do I need to open up my chest and my pecs? Maybe they're so tight and rigid that it's pulling my head. And so me trying to force a good posture isn't going to happen. So what do I need to do to help move that forward? You know, I think that's really important.
This reminds me, just recently, I got home from this dinner I went to with a couple friends and a couple of their friends that I had never met before. And the woman that was with us, she knew I was a physical therapist and just kind of asked me, she was like, when I work, I have this really bad pain in my back. And she kind of like reaches around her upper traps, like classic upper trap pain that people would be feeling for a long day at work. And she just like, what exercises should I do? And I kind of had to make a decision in my head because as you who listen to the podcast, you all know, it's not a simple answer. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, do this one exercise, that'll clear right up. Yeah, you might be able to have one or two exercises that could give you relief or make you feel relief, but we are looking for the long-term solution. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to try doing this in like 60 seconds in the best way possible. And it kind of reflects what our posture episode said. I just said, you sit and work at a computer. She was an actuary. So she worked in finance and doing actuarial reviews for these big companies. And she's like, yep, I sit for long periods of time. So I'm just like, and what position are you in? And she like
does the classic, rolls her arms in, gets kind of looking forward into her computer. And I'm like, this is the main problem. I could give you a couple exercises that you can do once or twice throughout the day and you might feel a little bit better, but you're sitting in this position for a long time. And as kind of said, coming back to the postural awareness that Jen just brought up, how can we every 30 minutes, 30 or 40 minutes when we are working throughout the day, have like a reminder, whether it's a physical reminder on our phone saying, hey, get up and do a little movement. And I just said, do the opposite of what you're doing. Open up your back, rotate through your back, open your chest, and then get back to work. And if you do that every 30 minutes, you're doing it 12 to 16 to 20 times throughout the day. And that's going to start having a much larger impact on our nervous system than doing a couple exercises once a day.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, huh, that actually makes a lot of sense because, you know, hopefully I explained it well enough and she seemed like a smart cookie. So she's just like, okay, I'll try doing that. And then I gave her some more specifics, like get to a wall and open up your chest and do a pec stretch.
Do in the neck and upper back plan.
Yeah, do some upper back rotation because when we're sitting and working, we're not rotating through our spine. But yeah, postural awareness. It's not just about posture. I need to sit in one specific position. No. It's I need to find more movement throughout my day.
Mm-hmm. And then, you know, going into what we've already talked about is strengthening those deep neck flexors. And there's different ways that you can progress this in clinic, specifically looking at using like a blood pressure cuff to kind of measure how much pressure you're putting in and how hard you're, you know, how strong those muscles are. We have different kinds of progressions on Gen Health where we start in sitting where it's not a lot of ton of pressure. And then we go to laying on your back. And then we have different progressions from there where you don't have to use something, but you're going to feel the progression as you continue working on it. But there's different ways that you can progress to really continue to strengthen so that, again, it's not something that you have to be throughout the day thinking, oh, let me chin tuck. But it's like, if I make those muscles strong in general, my head and my brain is going to have more awareness of how to hold my head there naturally. And that's really what we're looking at. And then looking at, you know, dynamic exercises, isometric exercises, exercises that strengthen all along the upper body. Again, and I think it's really important to note, and this is something we do in Gen Health and the neck and upper back plan as well. When we're talking about strengthening our around our shoulder blades or around our shoulders, we're looking at the core as well. Like your core, it plays a role all the way up into our shoulder blades. Our entire trunk, our entire pillar should really play a role in how that's breathing, moving, and functioning together. So we can't look at just the neck and shoulders and say, let me just strengthen here. But I get to look at the entire picture, that entire pillar, and how that's moving, breathing, and functioning and coordinating together in order to know that I'm making progress. And so this is where it's just continuing to be important on how we're training it all together, how we're really strengthening the entire complex, and then the biopsychosocial, what am I doing in my life that's really couldn't be impacting what I'm feeling in my head.
And as with everything, it's a continual journey. Like we might go to a physical therapist, they'll find these specific things that they want us to work on because we have restrictions there. But like we mentioned, there are benefits shown for headaches in almost every type of exercise, whether it's aerobic, whether it's strength training. And that makes a lot of sense because when we do exercise, we improve the physiologic systems of our body and we can progressively continue to improve those through life. And Jen mentioned it a couple times. We have a great place to start. We've had a lot of people give us feedback that it has improved or completely eliminated the headaches that they experience. It's our neck and upper back plan on Gen Health. You can get a free week trial if you've never joined a membership before. So you can get the link down in the show notes, or it's just gen.health/free trial. It'll give you 7 days for free to explore the neck and upper back plan. And as a podcast listener, you can always use code OPTIMAL to get an extra bonus discount on either your first month or your first year of membership.
Yay. Thank you so much for joining us on another episode. I hope you enjoyed that, learned a ton. And of course, if you know other people who are experiencing cervicogenic headaches, have been diagnosed with this, please pass this episode along. This is how we get to help so many more people. And we appreciate your support every single time. We'll see you back on another episode.